So, what image comes to mind when I talk about trust, the word trust? And if I were to ask you to describe what trust is, what words would you use? I'm going to do something that we don't normally do in this service, which is ask you to either, you don't have to speak to the person next to you, but maybe speak to the person next to you or turn to somebody who's behind you, particularly if they're someone you've not seen before. And I would love you to just say to that person, what words would you use to describe trust? If you're not allowed to use the word trust, what would you say? How would you explain it to someone? I'm just going to give you a minute to do that. Okay. Put your hands up if that was easy to do. Great. One person found it really easy. Anyone find it difficult to describe what trust is without using the word trust? It's tricky, isn't it? I heard a story once about a missionary who was living with a group of people who were new to the good news of Jesus. The people were learning about Jesus, and at the same time, the missionary was having to learn the language of the people so as to explain the gospel. So this people group didn't yet have a Bible in their own language. The missionary was the first person that they had spoken to who had come to them and come to explain about who Jesus is. The missionary was spending time particularly with one man, and this man was really interested and was working hard with the missionary to try and understand what he had come to tell him. Many of the concepts they kind of worked out together. Sacrifice, that was tricky but not too difficult for them to translate. Forgiveness, that came more easily. Mercy and love. But when it came to the idea of trust, trusting in something or someone, it was really tricky to explain it. It became clear that the people did not have their own word for trust. So the missionary thought really long and hard, and eventually he went and got a stool. And I realise it would have been handy to have a stool at this point. But you all know what a stool looks like. And it was a sturdy stool. So he went and sat down on the stool. And then he got up and he invited the man to sit on the stool. And he asked the man what they call this. Not the sitting, not the stool, but what was the stool doing? The expression that he came up with was completely holding my weight. And when he asked the man what he was doing, he said, I'm resting all of me. So the stool was holding all of his weight, and the man was resting all of him on the stool. So the man trusted that the stool would take his weight. So the translation then, from then on, about the word trust was something that will completely hold my weight. I can lean completely on this and I know that it will not break. We trust in lots of different things, don't we? And generally, I'm hoping at the moment, sat on your chair, you're not concerned about whether it's going to fall apart. My childhood wasn't quite like that. We grew up with really dodgy chairs. They were antique, probably looked quite nice, but they had boards slotted in underneath to hold all the horsehair stuffing in. And you never quite knew when you were going to sit on them and the bottom was going to pop out, and you would suddenly be much lower down. So they were not trustworthy chairs. In today's passage from Matthew's Gospel, we enter a moment in time when the disciples, who are very carefully listed here, they have been with Jesus and seen his ministry. And he is now passing this ministry on to them to share in. Jesus sends out 12. He gives them instructions and he tells them what not to take and what to do when they get there. But there isn't any detail really. It's just the basics. And he asks them to trust what he is telling them to do. So we don't hear the word trust, but it is implicit in what Jesus is asking them to imitate. It is implicit in his words. Jesus is asking them to imitate what they have seen him doing. To cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out the demons. They are also to trust that they will know who to stay with, who to spend time with, and who to kind of shrug off if they're not met with peace. And he gives them authority to do these things. It comes clear that this is not like a one-way process. Yes, the disciples are being asked to go out into this Galilean area. Yes, Jesus has asked them to trust God for their pay, food, shelter, and that there is a harvest to be harvested. But also, not only do they need to trust God, Jesus is putting his trust in them. He's putting his trust in this slightly rough around the edges group of men, the disciples, some of whom were quite young, and he puts his trust in them to be harvesters, to go out into the world and to proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. This is the most extraordinary part of God's plan for the world, is that we are his plan. God chooses that we are the ones to carry this message to all those that we come in contact with. And we can trust in this message of the good news. We have a really good message to share, and it's one that the world really needs to hear. And we can trust that there is indeed a harvest. There are many people who are searching, many people wanting to return to God, many people who are people of peace, who God will be sending us to, or who will be sent to us, if we are willing to trust him. So Jesus is putting his trust in God the Father, just that as he, Jesus, is totally reliant on the Father, only doing what he sees his Father doing, he, in the same way, is putting trust in them, that they will even enjoy the experience of putting their whole weight, their whole being, their whole trust into God, because he is the one who will hold them entirely. Jesus doesn't physically go with them. I don't know if you notice that. He sends them out. There's no kind of micromanaging or worrying that they won't do what he has asked. He trusts and knows that the Father is the one who will equip them and give them the words to speak. The disciples are not just trusting blindly, and nor are we. They and we are trusting in a God who has revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. And we have pages and pages of stories, history, prophecy, and poetry in the Bible that tell us. And we have our own stories to share with each other, to encourage us. And they encourage us that we are wisest when we put our trust in God. Not only that, putting our trust in God is the best decision that we can make and keep on making. So if we're not sure where to get the words to encourage us, who of God's nature, and that we can trust him, we can turn to so many parts of the Bible. Today, for example, we're given Psalm 100. Verse 3 says that we know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And verse 5 says, the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And so just from those two verses, we're reminded that we are God's people. We're made by him. We are sheep of his pasture. That means he is then our shepherd. The Lord is good and his love endures forever. So for here, us here today, what does trusting in God look like for us? What does it look like for today, for tomorrow, and for the coming week? To name just a couple of things for myself, it means trusting that my younger sister, who's just moved to Australia, that they will be okay, that they will be provided for 10,500 miles away. I am trusting that God will provide a house for her and schools for her children, because I know that the Heavenly Father who loves us here also loves her there. Sorry, I miss my sister. And this trust is acted out by praying for them, talking to God about their needs at this time. And it means trusting God's plan for my children as they make their own way in the world. So what are you actively trusting God with? Because I know you will be. There will be things in your lives that you are holding and trusting that God will be caring for. What are the things which seem maybe difficult to trust him with? What are the things that we might need to bring to God in prayer? Perhaps reading Psalm 100 to keep us in the knowledge that he is good, he is faithful, and he is trustworthy. For he is the God who holds your weight completely and who we can rest all of ourselves on. Amen.